Welcome to our City Gate Atlanta podcast. We trust you will be blessed by these messages and invite you to join us anytime as we worship the Lord and seek to walk in the fullness of His purposes and destiny for our generation. Information about our gathering times and various ministries may be found at www.citygateatlanta.org.
So how do you deal with this? How do I deal with this? How do I even begin to understand how to deal with this? There's no way. There's no way for me to wade through this and say, okay, at the very beginning, way down here at the bottom, there's got to be the beginning. Where's the beginning of this trash? I knew it was in here first. Where is it? Oh, my goodness, I heard it is. How about that? A miracle, right? Do you think I could do that? Go way back and find that cap, the very first piece placed in my life. How old was I? In my mother's womb before that? Cursed, I'm not a boy. Where did it start? And who did it start with? Can I look back and see the marauding Germans? Oh my goodness, look at them! Look at how they trashed my heritage. Look at how they sinned and steeped themselves in iniquity and sin. Boy, I never saw that coming. Okay, so where am I in all of this? Trying to dig through all of that that was put in me at a young age. If I could say that represents step by step, day by day, that's like a little tiny, tiny bit, isn't it, from the big mountain. But God had a plan from the very beginning. When I was 8 years old, a teacher saw that I was desperate and in trouble. And he loved me. And he said to me, Sandra, would you like to go to church with me? I want to invite you to church. And I said, sure, I'd love to go. He said, they've got cookies and Kool-Aid, which knowing that I was dirt poor and didn't have food meant a lot to me. I was highly interested. Take me. I'm going. Yay! Now, there was a little condition that he didn't tell me about. I had to memorize scripture in order to get that, and get that Kool-Aid. So, I know. So what do you think I did? I went home every week and I memorized scripture so I could get that cookie and that Kool-Aid. Okay. And one day, my teacher said to me, she said, do you believe? My scripture is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I said, yes, I do believe that scripture. And she said, do you believe that Jesus died for you? I said, yes, I do. She said, would you like to receive Jesus? I said, yes. So I did. I said whatever the sinner's prayer was. I don't even remember the words that I said, but I knew in my heart it was different. I was different. And guess what started to happen? I started to have hope in a completely desperate, desolate situation. I began to say, okay, God, here am I. In the very beginning, I am a very demonstrative person towards the Lord. That's the only way I know how to say that. So when I was young, I would lay out in the yard and I would sing songs to the Lord. And one day my mother said to me, she said, Sandra Lee, she said, she had been crying. She said, Sandra Lee, what was that song? And I said, I don't know. What song? The song you were just singing. And I said, I don't know. She said, did you learn that at church? I said, no. I just sang it to the Lord. And it's important to have that part in there because the intent is the issue of who God intended me to be. So years go by and years go by. Who has number one? Somebody has number one. Can you read it? You have number one? What is it? Christmas bulb. When I was 2 years old, my sisters passed a Christmas bulb through a mesh. They used to have mesh playpens. I took it and I chewed it and I aspirated a piece of glass that blocked my windpipe. My mother heard me take the first cry. She ran in the room. She pulled the glass out through my throat, ran down to the neighbors, called the doctor. Doctor said, feed her as much bread as you possibly can in case she swallowed glass and it's in her stomach. So, who has number two? Number two. Yes. When I was 3 years old, my mother allowed me to play with pans and pots and pans. Many did in the 1950s. They let us play with pots and pans and the stove. We had a very old home. We were very poor. The stove was in poor condition. So I was banging a cast iron lid like this, and I knocked loose the 220 bolts, the wire. And so the first explosion blew a hole through the cast iron lid, arced under the lid. The second one arced under the lid and threw me across the room. When my mother came in the room, she expected to find me fried. I did not cry until I saw my mother's face. These are her words, not mine, because I really don't remember. But I had the cast iron lid for a number of years. Every time I brought it out, you could testify that this is something God had did. If I had not touched one or both of the wires at the same time, it would have blown the electricity through me and blown my feet off. Okay? I would have been electrocuted instantly. Okay? But God did a great thing. God was constantly watching me. Who has... Is that two? Three. When I was 8 years old, I had a bag of dolls in my hand. I was walking down the street. I was going to a friend's house. A man in a truck pulled up alongside me, asked me if I needed a ride. My parents had always told me, walk to the nearest place, go to the nearest adult, say you live here if somebody talks to you. So I did. But I was just past the driveway. And I said, I live here. I was 8 or 9. I didn't know. So I live here. I go down. He knew I didn't, but I walked down towards the house. I came back up after he had driven off, and I was only like 2 driveways from my friend's house. I get 2 steps closer to her, and he had pulled up alongside me. And when he reached out to grab me, it had been slightly raining. Not enough to make me drop my dolls, not enough for the bag to break, but it's slightly raining on my raincoat. He reached out to grab me, and I turned to see him at the last second. I pulled away, and he lost his grip. I ran to my friend's house, spilled my dolls all over the floor. Who has four? Four. Crosswalk. I was 10 years old. I was going to school one morning. I had looked both ways. I walked into the crosswalk. I was 3/4 of the way through the crosswalk, and this person, I felt the wind of the car, and the person had slammed on their brakes, and they were looking at me like they had just lost their mind. It was probably 4 inches from me, 4 inches from my leg. Who has five? Yes. During the day, the time that they put out the movie of, what do you call it? Jaws. I was scared. I was going to Maui with a friend of mine. She had gotten it for her graduation present. Her parents didn't want her to take me. She did it because her parents didn't want her to take me out of rebellion. So, at any rate, I'm excited to go, but I'm scared to go because there are sharks. And my mother says, there are no sharks in Maui. They don't like warm water. Trying to, what? Make me not afraid. So I went to Maui. We were swimming in the water. And down the beach comes these lifeguards and 2 men. Shark! Shark! Get out of the water! And I'm like, shark? I turn and there's a fin. Like from me, maybe to the back of the church. And, of course, my friend Megan's with me, all right? So I scream, shark, at her, and we swim. I was the first one out of the water by a long shot. Megan was still way in the water, and I was like, swim, swim, swim! Okay, that's five? Okay. In the midst of all the turmoil of my life, I am carrying deep-seated bitterness. Unforgiveness, woundedness. I am dragging in my life, in the worst kind of way, the most horrific, horrible, stuffed in there, compressed in there, judgment, loathing, apathy, the opposite of love. The opposite of love is not, it is not hatred. It's not that, it's apathy. It's when you don't care what happens to a person. It's what ISIS has for human being life. They have apathy. They don't care about you. They could care less. It's not there. So my foundation verse is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish. It's a common verse. And a while back, the Lord had me read. I was reading John. He had me read it again and again and again. And I didn't like it. I was very frustrated. I was like, Lord, I know this verse. I don't want to read this anymore. I am done reading this. Go back, read it again. I read it again. I don't know if the Lord talks to you that way or you that way, but he gets pretty bossy when I disobey. So, the truth. So, okay, fine, because I know if I don't, I'm just going to be stuck. So, I read it again. Shorten it, he says to me. Shorten it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He said, I could have left it out. I could have left that little two-little word, so, S-O, out. I could have left it out. I so loved you. He could have said, for God loved the world. Big enough, right? I so love my children. I would die for them. I so love my husband. I would die for him. He so loved me. So I came to Georgia. Did you know that Georgia is a healing state? The Indians from way, way back, they used to come from all around, from different states, and they would come here to receive healing from the waters that are here, capped off in the earth. Okay? I came to Georgia. Guess what I came to Georgia for? Guess what God brought me to Georgia for? Healing. He said, come. I've got healing for you. I got restoration for you. I love you, and I've got a promise for you. I have a future for you. You're going to live and not die. So, I got a bunch of scriptures in here, so I don't even know where I am really exactly. Who has A? Can you read A for me? Oh, six. Okay, fine. Six. Okay. One every year. Between 19 and 24, I had a major car accident every year. They totaled the vehicles, and I was not seriously injured. I'm not saying I didn't take the rearview mirror out with my head. I did. I'm not saying that the car that ran the stop sign and plowed into the truck that sprung the truck where I was sitting hit exactly the right place and did not kill me, okay, put a bruise on me from here to here about that wide. But I was not seriously injured. I got out of that vehicle and went, why? Okay, so then, let's see. When I was 21, somebody ran two stop signs coming off a freeway. Two of them, off an off-ramp. Ran two of them and hit me almost head-on. I was going to skim them. I'd slammed on my brakes. It had been raining. I knew I was going to miss them, but they didn't. They saw me out of the corner of the eye, and they went, and boom, right into me, head-on. Told the vehicle, put a wedge in there. Didn't kill me, but I didn't sleep for three weeks. I had a big bump on my head. My mom was in the car. She took out the rearview mirror in a really nasty way. She has a scar on her head from that. And then when I was 24, I was 5 months pregnant with my oldest daughter. And I lost control of the vehicle on ice on a bridge, and I hit the bridge at 55 miles an hour. The last thing I remember, it sounded like a bomb went off, an explosion, a huge explosion. And before I hit the bridge, I was kind of scared because it was an overpass bridge onto rush hour traffic. And you can see when I woke up and got out of the car and walked around to the back, you can see where I slid up in this huge car, slid up and took a chunk off the bridge on the end, spun around. Now I'm in my lane. I was never seriously injured. I was okay. I am dragging bitterness and destruction and judgment, unforgiveness. It's right behind me. It's with me every day. I'm sucking it in, and it is killing me. Literally. Literally. I've got a spirit of victimization, and it's on me. And the enemy is trying to take my life. Can you see how heavy warfare is? When you keep bitterness, when you keep judgment, when you keep unforgiveness. If I could give you one thing, I would give you this verse. If you have aught against anyone, Forgive them. Forgive them so that your Father in heaven can forgive you. A, can you read A for me? I had seven? Nobody's seven. Who's seven? I don't have seven. I have A. Please. See, I thought that this was the way it was. There was no real plan for me. I didn't understand that the Lord loved me so much that way before the foundations of the earth. What's my foundation verse? He so loved me. So the foundation is what before that? While he was moving, the Creator God was carrying you in him. You were not yet a solid thing. He was carrying you in. He was thinking about you. He was dreaming about you. He had you with him. With him. It's an awesome thing. And then in the foundations, you are birthed into this land, into this place. You are birthed into the dream, the joy, the complete love that he had for us. That's why I love babies. I mean, you smell them. They came right from the hand of God. They come right there. You smell them, and there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. So I came here to Georgia. I gotta get going. Anyway, I came here to Georgia for healing. And the Lord began. I started a mental health clinic. It was natural health. Counseling. And it liked to kill me because they did not know about deliverance and demons and any of that. But they did know to tell me, you have issues with God. You have walked away. You have some issues with God. I was like, what? What? You mean when I was 16 years old and baptized in the Holy Ghost and that church got torn apart and they started backstabbing each other and they had the word and they killed each other with their mouth, that I had all of a sudden I was like, if this is what you're like, God, you look just like my family. Bye. See you later. Okay, so all that stuff that was in me, the devil knew that if he could cap me, like the healing waters that he's capped here, if he could cap me, what could happen? That he could keep me in that stuff. He could keep me churning bile. He could keep me churning judgment and unforgiveness. Who has B?
Romans 8, 37 through 39. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us.
Yes.
For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So word curses, sins of our fathers, ungodly beliefs, soul and spirit, ties, you know, demonic oppression, is that going to keep me from God? The love of God? No. He loved me so much, he so loved me that he saved me from this. My struggle, our struggle, we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers, against darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Where is this battle? Where's the battle for my life and your life? It is certainly not between you and me. It is not between my brothers and sisters. It's not between my mother and father. This is where my struggle and my battle is. So it says, it's not where we lay our bitterness and unforgiveness when we attach it to people. It's just not there. And so we wage our war against our mother, our father, our brothers, our sisters, that Christian pastor who stabbed me in the back. You know, really? And I can't understand why I'm not getting any freedom. Why am I not getting freedom? I forgive you, brother. You're a jerk. Right? That's what we think is going to happen. It's not. So I go to St. Patrick's. I meet Teresa Heath. It's a wonderful ministry. It's a place of a foundational place to rest and receive from God. And I do. He's restoring me. And then I go to Christ Fellowship from there because that's where my husband wanted to go. And I meet Patton Winston, Randy, Sylvia. I meet Mia and a few others who really know me well. And there I met Dorothy Mallory. And she was really scary to me. She was a deliverance counselor. She was about, yeah, I was scared, but I wasn't scared. You know what was really scared, right? So anyway, she says, I said, I'd really like some deliverance counseling. Not really. But I'd really like to, you know, get to the bottom of this problem I have. So we do. And it's really rough. I do not like demonstrative stuff. I don't want to do, particularly at this time of my life, I don't want weird stuff happening. Guess what? I don't have a lot of saliva. I'm just going to be honest. I don't have a lot of saliva. And through, I was like second or third time. I'm not going to say anything. What am I going to say? Can I have a bucket? I'm foaming at the mouth. Give me a bucket, because I need a bucket. I'm like a rabid dog. I'm here to tell you deliverance is real. And I got delivered. And then I went to Harvest Worship Center, which was Bobby Bolton, a wonderful church where God was stretching me. I left singing, and then I was terrified to sing. Came back. The Lord opened the door. He said, I want you to sing. And that's a whole other story of how that happened. And then I go to Destiny Gate. Pat and Winston are there. They invite me to go to Cleansing Streams. I go to Cleansing Streams, and I had never been in my right mind. I can't remember a time I was in my right mind. I really don't. You laugh. There was a story going on at both times. So if we talk about abortion, I understand why women have abortion. I understand why they need to do that. You know, there are some desperate situations where, wait a minute, abortion is wrong. You can't do that. That's a baby. What's the matter with you? Okay, that's always going on in here, or was. It no longer is going on in my mind. I don't have that double-minded conversation going on about everything. And I mean everything. So God delivered me through Cleansing Streams, and I came out of there. I was in my right mind for the first time, and boy, you can sing hallelujah. Hallelujah! Woo! Jesus, I love you. Thank you, because that's a big thing. Last thing, and then we'll close all this up, and I didn't get to, but anyway, it doesn't matter, because I'm sharing what the Lord wants me to. So Pat and Winston invited me to come to RTF, and here's the big one. I go to RTF, and when I go to RTF, I'm thinking I'm pretty good. I've been through the Sanford videos twice, 22 videos apiece. Come on now. I'm healed. Hallelujah. I'm good. Been through Cleansing Streams. I'm in my right mind. So Pat and Winston, I say, okay, but stuff's happening. I'm still reaping. I'm still reaping stuff I don't like. And I say to the Lord, why am I reaping this? Why is this going on? So they invite me. Okay. I have always been terrified of people. Terrified. Terrified of you, terrified of you, terrified, terrified, afraid. I've always not trusted anyone. If you can't trust your parents and you're terrified of your parents and you can't trust them, who can you trust? Nobody. Okay, everybody's scary. Everybody's big and scary. I could never get in front of people and talk to them like I'm talking to you, sharing me, because too big, too scary. I'd never had a safe place in my life, ever. Never knew a safe place. Never a place I could go where I felt like it would be okay. So I went to Pat and Winston's house, and when they came in there, they had been praying for me. They'd been praying. Their home is one of hope and peace and restoration and joy, and they are so, so careful. So careful. So I came to them, and I said, you know, I've got this issue. We sat down, and we prayed. A lot of stuff went on. A lot of stuff I don't really have time to tell you. But I wanted to leave you with this. Winston said to me, I had said that I had spent a good deal of my time under my bed as a child, crying and praying, God, please either take my life or please let my father pass me by. I'm begging you, please, God, take my life because I don't want to lose my life to my father. And I would much rather have the Lord take my life. So Winston says to me, we've been through a bunch of stuff. Winston says to me, he says, Sondra, where's your safe place? I'm looking. And he said, Sondra, where's your safe place? Now I'm getting mad because I'm looking for it. I can't find it. And I look for it as a kid, not there. I look for it as a teenager, not there. I'm looking for it as a grown adult. I'm not there. It's not there. And Winston said it one more time. And I yelled out, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I'm still under the bed. I'm still under the bed. Yeah, I'm still under the bed. I'm still under the bed. And Pat and Winston, through his love and mercy and peace and grace, and through the Holy Spirit and God, what did he say to me? He said to me, I said, are you going to get in? You're going to get out? And the Lord got down on his knees, got under the bed, and got close to me. And he said, you're never, ever not going to be safe. You're always going to be safe with me, no matter where you are. No matter where I go. No matter where I go, I am safe. No matter where I am. The Lord shall preserve thee. He shall preserve your going in and coming out. From this day forth and forevermore, I am safe in God. I am safe in the Lord. He is my covering. Rahu said to me, what is your song? Because I had seen him and met up with him, and two times in my life, he said to me this very important thing. It was in a conference, but he said to me, you know, David spent how much time worshiping God in front of people before he was 15. We had the sheep and the stars and the host of angels and God Almighty and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But he spent a great deal of his time worshiping the Lord privately. And then David worshiped God lavishly in front of people without care or worry or constraint about their ideas and thoughts. And when Rahu said that, I was like, that's me. That's that little 8-year-old girl that I somehow lost way back when. And so that restored that to me. And then this thing he restored to me recently was, what is your song? The Holy Spirit has given you a song and you a song and you a song and you a song. He's not sure what your song is. It could be anything. It could be flags. It could be sign language. It could be worship. It could be dance. It could be tongues. It could be administration. I don't know. What is your song? But the Lord gave me this song. I went to him, and I always ask him, what is my song? Or if I'm going to, you know, if I'm praying into something, I'm seeking the Lord. And I said to him, what is my song? And this is, from the beginning to the end, in the middle and back again, you're the verse and you're the line, the music and the rhyme. My song is in you, it's to you, it's who you are in me. My song is about you, for you, and all we are to be. Jesus, you are my song.
Life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain.
Wow.
No. Are you kidding? Whoa, Jesus. I know. She needs to write a book. And what I hugged her neck and said is if I'm going to put her on the spot, unless she's got a previous engagement and can't do it, February 14th at the women's event, a full session. I'm telling you, because that the whole theme for the women's event is the extravagant love of God. And your story tells the extravagant love of God. So I had not heard, I've heard bits and pieces, but thank you. And you're a natural. I mean, you're just a natural. You're not under the bed anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I know. It's the first time ever. Wow. There's going to be a lot of firsts here. And I'll tell you what I'm doing at this point is what I was going to do tonight will happen on the 28th of February because we've got 3 weeks. And that's okay because I'm not into doing what we have to do in our head. I'm here to do what the Holy Spirit says. And what I'm going to say about what Sandra just did here, that's why we exist. Because, see, Sandra is a vital member of the body of Christ, and she's a vital shareholder of the family here. And we've, hopefully for her to feel like she can come and do this for the first time ever here, created a safe place for her to be able to come out from under and step out and be who she is, to move closer into her destiny, because that's what we're about. I want every single one of you to find that place. I mean, I look at Anita up here singing tonight. When she first came in, I would hear her back there singing. I'm going, that girl needs to release that song. And I'd look at her and she'd kind of do this. And now she's up here and she's releasing that song because the gift of God has a place. I mean, I could go around to every one of you in here, and that's what it's about, because it's every joint supplying causes growth of the whole in love. And so what we do here is to create a place for you to grow, to mature, to get healed. Now, that doesn't mean if you walk in the door and you got your demons exposing themselves, that I'm going to give you a place with a microphone. Because that's me taking care that it's safe for all of us. Okay? Kind of the mama in the house. That's what I do. But it also gives you room to have time and write connections, like with the RTF. Write connections with the prayer folks around here. Write connections with relationships that are authentic. That we're not trying to put on airs for anybody. It's just, we're just going to love you. And if we think you're really messing up, I'm going to, you know, pull you aside and say, okay, we need to talk about this. And it's not because I want to bring correction. It's because I want to see you fulfill your destiny. Because that's the heart of God over each and every one of us. And again, I said this earlier, we're better and we're stronger together than we are apart. When God had me begin City Gate Atlanta, part of what he said to me was, I want you to be a place for the lost sheep of the house of the Lord to come and be healed. Because we have people that have been through what Sandra just talked to, that have been in the church that split and been in the place where they were backstabbed and been in the place where they were abused and misused. We've got more people probably in this city that call on the name of Christ that aren't in church than are. I can't tell you how many people I run into on a regular basis that say, I used to go to church. And I'm like, well, come be here, because we don't act like church. And I don't mean that to be derogatory. I'm trying to help us, and we're working together to find a way that living out the faith we have in Christ is real. Where we can celebrate each other, we can hurt together. I mean, look at the stories we've just heard in the last 40 minutes
of us saying we've been contending for weeks, months, to come out from under the curses that have been coming against us in the spirit. But we've done it together. To Sandra, of coming against it for years, but has come out. Freedom. You see, I believe if we can walk out our freedom with the joy of the Lord, where we started tonight with that, you know, we know who set us free. And we can live that out real. It's contagious because it's life. It's life. I'm just undone. I don't even know where to go. Except I do need to receive an offering. It is important. I do need to do that. I do want to, while you're preparing your offering, what the Lord, here's what I'm hearing. As you're sowing tonight and you're bringing your offering in, whatever it is you're needing, say, God, I'm sowing this in faith that I want to enter into the fullness. I want to come out from under my bed. I want to come out from under my, because we've all got them. We've all had them. But tonight I'm giving to come out. And if you, something triggered in you during that testimony, we've got RTF ministers in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm just going to make this declaration. God is bringing our building in. And we are going to have RTF Healing House fully operational with multiple teams of ministers that can minister to people so that we don't have to get in a long line to wait for Pat and Winston, but they will be in the position they're called to do, to train, equip, and mobilize others to do the work. And we're going to see it. We're going to see it. I think I want a building for that as much as I want it for anything. I mean, that's just real. Because as the harvest comes in, we have to have a way for them to come in and get healed and whole. I don't want them to have to wait 30 and 40 years like some of the rest of us. I mean, really? Let's come on in. So I do want you to lay hold of that as we bring the offering. The other thing I want to just do an announcement, and then Randy, I'm going to have you go to the keys while we bring the offering. Not this Tuesday night, but the following Tuesday night on the 10th. We're going to start doing a class. It's another part of this, help get everybody free and know what we're facing when we face certain obstacles in life. Satan's deadly trio. Defeating the deceptions of Jezebel, religion, and witchcraft. With a city who has its top magazine known as Jezebel, do you think Jezebel spirit's an issue in Atlanta? That's just a natural indicator of a spiritual condition. Jezebel is witchcraft. She uses witchcrafts, but she also seeks with seduction. And seduction is not just sexual. It's all kinds of seducing methods to get an upper hand to control. It's linked in with control, manipulation, and domination. The religious spirit feeds in there very quickly to use systems and structures, to do traditions of man and all kinds of things to try to oppress people rather than see people get free. And so we're going to unpack this book. I've been reading it. Teresa's been reading it. It's absolutely fabulous. All we're charging for the class is $15, which is essentially the cost of the book. So we have books out front. We'll be meeting. Right now I've got it set for 6 weeks. I personally don't believe we'll get through it in 6 weeks. I just don't think it's going to be possible, but we'll do three. The 10th, the 17th, and the 24th in February, the same thing in March, and we may have to go into April. Because I don't want to rush it. I want us to get it and learn how to deal with it. So we recognize it in ourselves, and so we recognize it when it's operating around us. Because where awakening happens, every time awakening happens, this is going to rise up because Jezebel hates the prophets. When there's a prophetic anointing, Jezebel will always target and try to kill it. It's one of the reasons this city's had such a hard time with the prophetic, is because Jezebel rises up every single time and either perverts it or kills it. So I want us to be protected, and I want us to be clean. Okay? So that will be in 2 weeks. Pray for your leadership team on Tuesday night. We actually get together the first Tuesday night of every month. We do a little bit of sharing, but more, it's not really a business kind of meeting. It's really we share with each other what's going on, and then we just pray. We pray for each other. We pray for you. And we spend whatever time it takes just seeking the Lord for what he wants to do here. So I just invite you to pray for us as we seek the Lord, because we can only go where he leads us. And I'm determined I'm not going anywhere he doesn't lead. If we just have to stop, we'd stop until we find out where he's leading. So then next Sunday night, Clay Nash will be here. I'm real excited about that. I encourage you to get here a little bit early, because I know the folks from the West Side with Becky Shaley, they're all coming over. There are other people that are telling me they're coming. And he's going to teach a message on commissioning out of the life of David on his three commissionings. And then we're going to commission our leadership and a few other folks. And Becky Shaley, the leadership from the Gathering House, will be commissioned. Because we feel like there's a release of the authority of God, the grace of God, to move into all he has when we release that commissioning. And then essentially, they will get a specific commissioning, but everybody's here will receive a fresh anointing for the new season. Because that's just the way God operates. Then the following weekend, we have a busy February, I've warned you. Friday night, the 13th, we have Kevin and Rose Sambrook. We'll be here at 7 o'clock having a citywide service, so invite your friends and family to come. And then on Saturday, ladies' event, $15 basically covers the cost of our lunch from 10 to 2. And Rose Sambrook will be ministering, and now our friend, Aunt Sandra. And there'll probably be a few other surprises along the way as well, but just really wanting to see women encouraged and receive and encounter really the extravagant love of God. And then on the 21st, that Sunday night, the 15th, Kevin and Rose will be here again. And then on the 22nd, actually, is a Sunday, Dr. Nigel Bigpond will be here with us. And he does all kinds of teachings on land warriors and being warriors in the Lord. And so I have no idea what he'll do, but we trust him, and he'll just jump in with whatever we're doing. And who knows, we may do a full night of worship and proclamation and declarations. I would not be surprised. So, and then most of you should have, or all of you should have received the newsletter I sent out. Jennifer Thrasher is preparing to go to the Czech Republic as our first sent out missionary. That really hit me this weekend. I mean, it's like we've been talking for months about this, but all of a sudden it just like overwhelmed me.